Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
All right, the Mariners talk continues. We are getting you guys ready, primed and ready for tonight's game, the debut of Logan Gilbert and Jared Kelenic. Mariners assistant GM Justin Hollander going to join us in 30 minutes. We've also got joining us right now on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline, Daniel Kramer of MLB.com covers the Mariners for the MLB. Daniel, I have to start here. I was so shocked that they brought up both of these guys. I was not expecting it. Were you as surprised, or were you, I'm assuming you're already far more in the know than I am. Is this something that was kind of expected among reporters?
Well, first of all, Stacey, thanks so much for having me. I've been a big fan of the show, so I appreciate you guys having me on. To answer your question, I think I was a little surprised at the timing of it, but I knew it was coming sooner than later. The date that I had circled was May 27th, at least for Jared, because that's when they would be opening their next homestand. That kind of fit a little bit into the timeline that they had long said that, you know, he was going to need, you know, maybe another couple weeks at Tacoma, get him under his feet. So I think that got a little accelerated here, and I think part of it's because you know, they haven't like come out and said it, but they kind of need these guys in a way right now. The offense has been scuffling, and you know, Jared comes in, he has a lot of potential, he's a big contact driven guy, and then you talk about Logan Gilbert, and given the state of the rotation and how many injuries they've had, you know, they kind of really need these guys at this time. So I think, you know, they're obviously prepared. You know, they've been very diligent about bringing these guys along. So, you know, to answer your question, am I surprised that they're getting called up? Maybe just a little bit by how quickly it happened, because I'd assumed it would be maybe a couple weeks down the road.
Now, Daniel, that's one thing that I have been very intrigued by, is the fact that the timeline of what they have talked about with us about Kelenic, about Logan Gilbert, it seemed to be a little bit more down the road. Not by much, maybe at max a month, a couple weeks. Logan Gilbert, I was anticipating a little bit more. I don't know about you, but you know, you bring up the elephant in the room, the thing that nobody really wants to talk about or admit. You know, is this a reaction to what's going up to the big league level? That's what I am most, you know, that's what I want the answer to, right? And to know fully that it wasn't necessarily just in reaction. So if you believe that it is in reaction to what's going on, can you tell us if you feel like they are being stretched by any sense by coming up too early?
Well, I don't know. I think you could look at it in multiple ways on that. I mean, if you watched what Kelenic was doing in spring training and in minors camp after that, like what he's been doing in Tacoma over the past few weeks, you know, he seems to have earned this and he seems to be really prepared. I said it all along, as did some other people. You know, I thought he was the strongest outfielder outside of Mitch Haniger and Kyle Lewis in spring training.
Amen.
So I thought, you know, that was my opinion, but I'm no expert, so to speak, on front office personnel. But, you know, I was watching him every day, and I thought he was really impressive down there, and I wouldn't have been surprised if he broke the opening day camp. But, you know, in terms of, like, bringing him up as a much-needed reinforcement, and if that puts too much pressure on him, this is a guy who thrives with pressure. I mean, he's excelled at every stop. He's maintained every challenge that the Mariners have thrown at him and exceeded it at every level. So I wouldn't be, like, too worried about that with Jared, so to speak. And, you know, with Logan, he's a guy that, had it not been for the cancellation of the minor league season last year and the shortened MLB season, he would have been up in late summer. He was that prepared from a baseball IQ standpoint, from an acumen standpoint, fleshing out his pitches. He just didn't have that innings accumulation at that point. So in terms of like their total preparedness, I think this fits about right in terms of like putting too much pressure on them. I don't really think so at this point. These are two guys who were always going to be a big part of the team, and sooner than later.
I read a lot of just scouting reports on Kelenic. I hadn't been able to get out there to see him, so it's really all I have to go off of outside of spring training stuff. And there's a couple aspects to his game that I'm most kind of curious to see how it translates against big league pitchers, right? Like hitting to all over the field, to any corner of the field. His ability to make contact, draw walks. I mean, all of these things where you think, okay, but what about guys in the big leagues? What about the really good guys? Is there any one particular aspect to his game where you are most curious to see how it translates?
Not specifically to his game so much as to see how he's going to handle struggle, just because he hasn't really experienced that at any point, you know? And that's probably going to come, right? Every big leaguer struggles, even the very best of them. You're seeing some of it with right now with the best hitters on their team in Haniger and France. So I'm curious to see, you know, how he handles that, if and when that comes at some point, whether it's, you know, in the immediate future, down the road this summer, or, you know, next season. So just curious to see how he handles that. As far as his game, very advanced approach at the plate. I mean, he has a super compact swing, very cognizant of the strike zone, and is patient. You know, he will wait out a walk. He won't chase. And I think that's pretty telling for a 21-year-old guy. You know, he's definitely off the charts in that regard. Jerry DePoto, when we talked to him this morning, said that they wanted to see some improvement against left-handed pitching. I was pulling up his splits from 2019. Looked like he out-hit righties by 200 points with his OPS back in his last full minor league season. So, you know, there's probably some validity to that. But then again, like, his first home run in Tacoma was a booming one off of a lefty. So would be curious to see, you know, especially after the Mariners made that point that they want to see improvements on that, as to how he handles that. He's not going up against a lefty tonight, so at least not as a starter. So we'll see how that continues to play out and how he fares against big league pitching.
You know, Daniel, one of the interesting things about Jerry DePoto when what he said was talking about where Kelnick is going to hit in the lineup. And he had said, hey, wherever he wants, he can hit anywhere. And I anticipate him hitting towards the top of the lineup, if not the leadoff hitter. Do you think that's appropriate for him right now in game one in the first, you know, action that he's going to get? And what would that do for the rest of the guys in this current lineup?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a curious question because he does have that prototypical leadoff type of guy long term. I mean, I could see that being his spot for the next couple of years, if not longer. You know, he's a very contact-driven guy, high on base percentage, again, back to that plate discipline, and he also has a huge power potential, which you're seeing emerge as, like, something you want in a leadoff hitter with guys like Ronald Acuna and George Springer. So, I mean, he also can run really quickly. So I could see that would be a long-term profile for him. In terms of right now, I'd be really curious to see if they play it out because, you know, Haniger had been their guy for, as you know, pretty much the entire season until the past few games. They've gone back to J.P. Crawford, and I think part of that is to kind of, like, shake things up. J.P. has been their hottest hitter over the past 2 or 3 weeks and, you know, trying new things. So if they were to bat him leadoff tonight, I'd be pretty surprised. I think it would come eventually, but I'm not sure if it would happen right away, to the point you just made. I would anticipate that he's probably lower in the lineup tonight, but, you know, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Daniel, I have kind of a dumb question, but it was one I was talking about with my sister the other day, and I didn't actually know the answer. Like, genuinely, I was like, I started answering and was like, I'm going to ask someone who knows way more than I do. Is what's going on with the Mariners offense, and this was a conversation we were having because of the lack of moves they made in free agency, is this just a lot of guys with higher ceilings than we've seen slumping at once, or is this, no, they need to bring in more talent, and bringing in Kelnick is kind of the start of that?
Well, they had pursued multiple veteran bats this past offseason. Tommy La Stella and Colton Wong are two of them, and, you know, they... It sounds like, based on the people I've talked with, that it came down to money with those two guys. And I heard that they had also pursued Andrew Benintendi from the Red Sox, who's off to a stellar start in Kansas City. I think any one of those guys, injecting them to the top of the lineup, alleviates some pressure on the lower level of it, and it kind of just changes the dynamic of things.
It's almost like you have to spend to win. Very weird.
Yeah, I'll plead the fifth on that one, but yes, for sure. So yeah, I think adding any of those guys, it would have changed the dynamic of you know, how the lineup would pursue. You know, look at a guy like Taylor Trammell. I mean, he had a stellar spring, definitely played his way onto the roster, earned every bit of it, but you know, some of his struggles against big league pitching were very predictable, especially against secondary offerings and, you know, just being a little overwhelmed at the plate at times. So, you know, back to your question about all of this collectively coming to a head, you know, I don't think Ty France is going to be in a regular 5-for-50 funk. I mean, he's a very contact heavy driven guy. You know, Mitch Haniger is the same way. I think Kyle Lewis will come along. You know, Jared should produce. You know, I don't know if he'll go off and hit 330 right away, but, you know, he should help. And I think a lot of it, too, is just like a lot of people have talked about this, but pitchers are just as good as they've ever been right now, and you're seeing collective slumps across the lineups, across the majors. So I think it's a combination of a lot of things for sure.
Now, Daniel, you know, one of the you know, questions that I have in regards to, you know, this whole process with Jared Kelnick coming up and what his productivity can look like is a part of his mental makeup and a part of, you know, his style, his intensity and his brashness, to be honest. I mean, he is a very honest person in the way that he presents himself, the way he speaks. And how do you think that's going to mesh with this clubhouse?
You know, for all of that, Jake, he backs it up. I mean, the guys really respect the work that he puts in, his work ethic, you know, how much of an effort he makes. You know, even the most veteran guys like Kyle Seager, Tom Murphy, they all make a point to say that, you know, this guy, he puts in the work, he backs it up. And I think there's something to be said about that. You know, like, he has produced at every level, but he's respected because of the efforts that he puts in. So he's also been around for a few years now, I mean, and been in big league camp for the past few seasons. So he's not a completely new face, so to speak. A lot of these guys came up with him, so they know him and respect him. I don't envision that being too much of a challenge within the Mariners clubhouse, no.
I know that we've all been talking about this today, and I know that this conversation will continue because we're not going to get an answer to what these two guys, Gilbert and Kelnick, are going to look like tonight. But can you just speak to the significance of their debut outside of just what they bring? I mean, because part of it really is like starting to deliver on the turnaround, right?
For sure, for sure. And Jared talked about it with us a little bit this morning. It's just, this is like their next wave of talent that's coming in, and we've been hearing all about this for, what, 3 years now? Mm-hmm. But these are the two guys that are arguably the most preeminent pieces, at least in the pipeline right now. You know, more guys are coming along down the road. They've got a ton of pitching that I could go on and on and on about that that are going to be up in the coming years that are a really big deal. But, you know, it's definitely a big day for Mariners fans, and ones that they should get excited about. You know, they've been hearing for 3 years now that, you know, the saviors are coming, so to speak. And I think, you know, these two guys are definitely key cornerstones about who are going to be with the team for the long term. And, you know, definitely gives the fans something to dream on.
All right. He is Daniel Kramer, Mariners reporter for MLB.com. Daniel, thank you so much for joining us. We're so excited to see this debut tonight, obviously, and we'll be following your coverage of the night as well.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, Daniel. All right. Again, that was Daniel Kramer, covers the Mariners for MLB.com. You can check out his stuff at MLB.com. Right now, it is time for Hype Train. All right. Now, normally what I do is I take a look around the world of sports and I tell you, Jake, and me, Stacey, and DJ Wilder filling in for Curtis about the top five trends that are happening. And you guys tell me whether you're buying in, you're buying your ticket, you're boarding the train, it's all real, or whether, as often happens in the world of sports, it's all hype. It's all a facade. So because we have the debut of two huge prospects tonight for the Mariners, I've got three Mariners-themed ones, keeping it very local, keeping
it
very MLB, very Mariners-themed. So let's get started with the first train, Jared Kelnick homers in his debut. Now, I don't actually think this is going to happen, and I hope I'm eating crow tomorrow. I'm hoping I'm eating crow for breakfast, lunch, and dinner because he homers three times. But what I do think he can do is get a hit. And you know what? That is already 50% of the production they got yesterday. So not boarding the train, but I really, really want to. Jake.
Jared Kelnick, I am going to get on this train. You want to know why I'm going to get on this train, Stacey? Because I'm hyped, because I am jacked, because I am so ready to see what Kelenic looks like in a Mariners uniform. And the realistic approach and the realistic reason why I think it's a possibility, why I'm getting on the hype train, is because that he is a player that, as you know, Mike Salk said earlier, he has a flair for the dramatic. You know what we call that from a player's perspective?
What's that?
We call that a guy who makes big time players step up in big time in moments. And you have guys that, when the moment is the brightest, when you have the most pressure, when you have the game on the line, all eyes are on you, that there are special players and special talents that step up in those moments and just find a way to make big things happen. And I feel like Jared Kelenic is one of those guys. That is why I'm getting on this hype train.
All right, one aboard, one very patiently waiting at the station because I'm afraid of everything. DJ, are you boarding the hype train or not? Jared Kelenic homers in his debut for the Mariners.
Oh, I'm boarding the train, Stacey.
Of course. Of course you are. Of course you're boarding the train with Jake.
It's because you guys have talked about it earlier this week. The theater, or just the timing of when Kelenic has had these moments, and that's, you know, we played the cut of Scott Service talk about players will show you when they're ready, and then Kelenic hits a home run literally seconds after he says that. DePoto comes on Danny and Gallant in the morning and talks about Kelenic is not, he might not be up for a while. He goes out and hits two home runs in his AAA debut. I think he hits a home run in his second at bat, and I think in his first
at
bat.
Really happens.
I think in his first at bat, it'll be some warning track power. He's gonna pull a ball. It's gonna almost get out, and everyone's going, oh. And then second at bat, I think it's a home run.
DJ, I hope you're right.
Stacey, you get on me about details when we get to our Bold Take Fridays. That was incredible detail by DJ there.
It's gonna be a 3-2
bat for bat moment, like situation. He is on it, and if it comes together, DJ, you are incredible.
Two aboard that train, leading the station. Next train in. All right, going with our other prospect making his debut tonight for the Mariners, it is Logan Gilbert going to be on the mound. Now, it sounds like the goal from Shannon Dreyer, Mariners insider for 710 ESPN Seattle, is around 80 pitches, so who knows, right? That could be through the fifth, it could be through the third. I don't know what it's going to be. Let's hope it's through later than that. But no matter how many pitches, no matter how late he's out there, this has nothing to do with that. This has to do with strikeouts. Logan Gilbert, fans eight. I am not getting on. I'm sorry. I'm really bringing us down here. I'm being a very cautious viewer tonight.
You're being very cautious, but you know what? Just because, like I said, I'm hyped for Jared Kelenic. I'm hyped for Logan Gilbert.
Cleveland's not great.
I mean, hey, I think that Logan Gilbert's going to come out with the adrenaline running through his veins, and I'm going to get on this hype train. Get on it, DJ. Sound it. This umpire is going to be like Curtis Rogers in Little League's games. Yeah, strike. Now, that to me is what you're going to be seeing from Logan Gilbert. He might sneak up on some people. They don't know him. They don't have the scouting report on Gilbert, a full scouting report. So maybe he's able to show some fireworks here for the fans at T-Mobile Park.
DJ.
I'm not going to board the hype train.
Woo! DJ, staying at the station with me. I'm not alone.
I think he can definitely, because we talked about, we all kind of think he's probably going to go five innings tonight. I think that's pretty safe.
We saw earlier
Daniel Kramer, who we just had on, tweeted earlier from DePoto's press conference that he's probably going to have a leash of 80 to 85 pitches tonight. I think he'll fan five, but I think there will be a notable strikeout with Jose Ramirez, who's the best hitter in Cleveland's lineup, and I think he's going to make him look foolish.
That would
See?
Be great.
Details. Details, DJ. But, this is why you give details. I love it. I love it.
I hate the endorsement from Jake because I always make fun of Jake. I'm telling you guys, when we do Bold Take Friday coming up during the Seahawks season, this is how Jake gives his bold takes. If you've never listened, like say you're just listening for the first time today, we do Bold Take Friday every Friday before a Seahawks game. And it's supposed to be like, oh, Russell Wilson throws three touchdowns. Jake will be like, in the fourth minute of the fourth quarter, like this will happen. And it's only given him confidence that, like, two times what he said actually happened.
Yeah.
At that moment. And it's now he won't
stop.
Do
you know how good you look when you give an incredible amount of detail to a situation and it actually happens?
Next train. All right, sticking with the Mariners theme. Now, this isn't necessarily a bold take, but you need to be committed. You need to be all aboard because I know I am. I am boarding this train. Here it is. Tell me if it's hype or if you are buying a ticket. The Mariners will snap the slump and win this series versus Cleveland. Now, before you guys say, well, Cleveland isn't that great right now, know that the Mariners only got 6 hits in their series versus the Dodgers, 2 hits last night. And so just know what you're working with here, okay? It's still going to be impressive if they win the series after the slump they've been in offensively. I am boarding this train. I think they can get it done, especially being back at home.
Yeah, I'm not going to board this train, Stacey. I'm sorry.
Well, I board the train.
I am not going to board this train. And the reason why I'm not going to board the train is because I just think that everything is coming back to its average. And although it's exciting that Logan Gilbert's pitching tonight, although it's exciting that Kelnick's going to be up with the big league club, I don't think that's going to spark a series wins for the M's. But I really, really, really wish that and hope that I am wrong. But I think the Cleveland Indians are, although they're not overpowering, they right now are a better team than the Mariners.
All right, Hype Train, tell me if you're boarding the Mariners going to win their series against Cleveland. DJ.
I'm boarding with you, Stacey.
Thank you, DJ.
I think mainly because I think they need to get a win tonight because I'm looking at that matchup on Sunday, and it looks like it's going to be a bullpen day against Shane Bieber for Cleveland, who's one of the best, not just best young pitchers. He is one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. I honestly don't like their chances against him on Sunday. So I think they're going to win the series, and they really have to because they do not want to be going for a split.
They got
to
get it done
on
all right.
Sunday.
I want to fit in this very last train because I always like to have a fun one, and this one is one I feel very passionate about. So next train in the station, last train in the station for today. Now we'd like to mix it up, get a fun debate in here. So here's the train. Tell me if you're boarding. Key lime pie is the best pie. I'm absolutely aboard this train, and I didn't used to be. That's new, but I've decided to buy a ticket.
My father-in-law would be on this train, but I am not going to get on this train. I am not going to get on the key lime pie trade. No train. I just can't do it.
Well, then what would be?
To me, I mean, Stacey, you're going to laugh at me because it's a classic. But to me, you can't beat a really, really good apple pie.
Oh,
apple pie to me is so incredibly good. And I think it's undefeated.
Overrated. DJ.
No, not overrated.
DJ.
It's a good pie.
DJ's afraid to say no.
It's a good pie.
All right.
It's a great pie. If you have the right crust on top of it, and you got the drizzle, you got the frosting drizzle on it, oh my gosh. Yes.
I don't like fruit pie. So like cherry pie, apple pie, whatever other pies have like a warm fruit. I just feel like it's like, what are you doing here? You should be like coconut cream or key lime. I don't know. It has no business being in pie. In my mind.
Yes, it does, Stacey. It has a lot of business being in pie.
Stay tuned to 710 ESPN Seattle all day long as we're giving away a pair of Mariners tickets every hour until 6 p.m. So listen all day for the cue to call, and you could win a pair of tickets to the May 19th Mariners game at T-Mobile Park. Don't forget, fully vaccinated sections are available at T-Mobile Park in this upcoming homestand. You can find ticket prices and more information about those special offers for that vaccinated section at mariners.com/vaccination. Coming up next, Mariners assistant GM Justin Hollander helps us preview what we could see from these two new Mariners prospects making their MLB debut.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
A huge day for Mariners fans, an exciting and important day for Mariners fans. You're going to see the debut of two of Seattle's top prospects tonight against Cleveland. Logan Gilbert on the mound to get the start, and Jared Kelnick also making his debut. Joining us right now on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline, it is Mariners assistant GM Justin Hollander. Justin, you have to be so excited. I can't even imagine. I mean, it's one thing to be a fan or to be someone covering the team, watching it. It's got to be surreal to be on the other side, having seen so much of this process unfold and finally see it play out tonight.
Yeah, it's super exciting. Thanks for having me on. It's one of those days where we've been watching it behind the scenes for a couple years now, and now to get to show other people a little bit more of what we've been seeing in the minor leagues is a great day, I think, for us in the front office, for our scouting and player development staff, and for obviously our fans.
Now, Justin, you know, one of the things about Jared Kelnick that everybody is really excited to see and what we've heard about is how great he is at the plate. You know, what can you tell us about his approach that makes him so unique?
Really mature. He makes adjustments very quickly. I would say advanced plate discipline. You know, it's power to all fields. He runs the bases well. He's really a complete offensive player for someone at, you know, 21 and a half years old, give or take. You don't really see a mature approach at this stage of development very often. He really can do roughly anything you'd want to see a young hitter do at the plate.
So, Justin, with that advanced approach and with his ability to adjust, what is the mindset for you guys, you know, bringing Kelnick up? Is it one of those things where you want to ease him into the lineup and allow him to kind of have a soft landing in the back half of the lineup? Or it's like, hey, this kid's ready to go, and we're going to put him up there in the front and let him go attack?
That's a decision that Scott's going to make. My sense is we're going to hit him lead off and tell him, go get him. that's my guess. You know, I've told the story a couple times in the last couple of days. That was in Anaheim when we drafted Mike Trout, and I'm not really comparing the two, except to say when they came up, they're talented enough and you trust their emotional maturity enough and their ability to handle the big leagues enough. You don't really need to hide them or protect them. Their approach is so mature and so consistent, it's not going to change. And I would expect that, you know, whether he's hitting leadoff tonight or he's hitting at the top of the order tonight, he'll eventually gravitate to one of the spots in the top of the order and just take it and run with it. I wouldn't expect the spot in the order to phase him one bit.
I'm obviously excited to see how Kelnick is as a player on the field, but we've heard so much, Justin, about his personality, that he's just confident. He's got a ton of attitude. And I personally love seeing that with players. Like, I know for some people, you know, if unspoken rules of baseball, they want guys to be maybe more introverted or just go along. I love guys with attitude, especially in baseball. I think it's great. I am curious, though, to see how he's going to kind of acclimate to the big league club atmosphere. And I read that you guys, the organization, basically asked him to take on more of a leadership role this year. Can you talk to us a bit about that request and then what you saw from him?
Sure. I think overarching for us is be who you are. I wouldn't ask Logan Gilbert to be Jared Kelnick, nor would I ask Jared Kelnick to be Logan Gilbert. They're different people. Everybody is comfortable doing things their own way. And we just want our players to be the best version of themselves. So if someone is naturally more confident or has more swagger, is more an emotional player on the field, go be that. But go channel that energy in a really positive direction to help lead people and energize the group. If you're more introverted, if you're a lead by example type, that's great too. Go channel that version of yourself to go lead and direct people in the right direction and pick people up when they're down. Everybody is unique. I think one of the things that we stress all the way from the lower levels of the minor leagues to the big leagues is be yourself. Don't change because it's an expectation that, oh, you can't do this in the big leagues or you can't act like that in the big leagues. You know, you can do whatever you want, be who you are. Be respectful of your teammates and lead in a positive direction. And that's really been our message to all of our players, Jared included.
Justin, we are so excited to see Logan Gilbert as you are, see him take the mound for the very first time in a Mariners uniform. What is it about him and his process that made you guys feel like he is ready for the show now? Because I just from my personal side of it, I was very surprised to see the Logan Gilbert call up. Not that I didn't, you know, I didn't know where he was going to be in the process. It just seemed like the process was going to be, you know, middle to later in the season. So what did you guys see from him that made you guys feel like he could go right now?
First, he's incredibly prepared as a player. Probably understands his own strengths and weaknesses as much as any pitcher we have in the organization, and that includes our major league group right now. Just has a very advanced feel for what he does well, where he needs to locate in order for his stuff to maximize its playability in the zone and out of the zone. That's always been an area where he's ahead of the curve. This process with Logan and sort of mapping out where he might fit into the big league started last summer when we realized he wasn't going to have a full season there was a certain amount of innings that he would need to take on last year and could take on this year. And we worked through it, and ultimately that number is probably around 120 this year. Obviously, Jerry and I went down and watched him pitch last Friday in Tacoma. It was very cold, but we watched him go pitch, and he threw the ball great. Really not a lot of concern on readiness for Logan, in terms of how his stuff will play. whether he can command the ball at a big league level. It's more about making sure that we develop the innings properly so that he could start the year and finish it. We really don't want to shut Logan down and end his season prematurely, let's say in August or September.
Yeah.
So that's why he had the minimal work in spring training. We roughly took 2 months of spring training innings and backloaded it so he would have those 2 months to give in big league innings this year.
I got to give you credit here, Justin. I don't know if you remember this, but Jake and I had you on opening day, and it was Taylor Trammell's debut. We were talking about all just special moments of opening day, the expectations for the club. We had so much to talk about that, like many people, I completely overlooked who has been one of the most consistent stars for this team, which is Mitch Haniger. And when I asked you on that day, and I've mentioned this in several conversations since, when I asked you on that day, who are you most excited to see or what are you most excited about tonight? Without hesitation, you said Mitch Haniger. And at the time, I was like, oh, yeah, I mean, I guess. Yeah, Mitch Haniger, of course. Why didn't I think of that? But there's just, and I'm sure Mitch has experienced this, so many other names that have since kind of taken the spotlight. And lo and behold, Mitch Haniger, tied for first in the AL right now with home runs, has been the best part of this lineup, certainly the most consistent part. And I have to imagine it's just been a pleasure to watch him, especially knowing on that day your expectations for him. What's he meant to this club?
I did not remember saying that. The only thing I remember is you locked me up on an April Fool's Day question. I had no idea how to answer you. But no, I'm excited for Mitch. I can't imagine being an elite level athlete. Well, I can't imagine that period, but I can't imagine being that and then have it taken away from you for 18 months like it was for Mitch, and the amount of time and effort and care that he has put into getting back to this point. Obviously, no one ever really doubted the skill level, the talent level from Mitch. You know, obviously some concerns, I'm sure, on his part, some doubt about when he would be healthy, if he would be healthy, and to see all the work he put in. And it was truly, it was an easy answer, thinking back on it, because the day he walked into spring training in mid-February, it looked like he had played all through the winter, all through the previous season. He was locked in from day one. He looked physically great. He was smiling. He was moving around great. I don't know how much work he must have put in over the winter between the physical labor to get his body back in shape and the baseball skills work to get his body back acclimated to the timing of the game. He must have spent just an inordinate amount of time over the last 6 months leading into spring training this year to get his body ready and his mind ready to go be successful. And he is a phenomenal talent, and he is as driven as anybody we have on the team. And he's so important for our lineup to function. I don't know where we'd be without Mitch right now.
Justin, we really appreciate your time, and I mean, we always love talking to you. Last question for me, you know, when you guys make this decision to bring up Kelnick and you bring up Gilbert, it's not just a fun day for everybody and Mariners fans, but it's an important day. It's a really important day in terms of what you guys are telling the fans, you're telling the organization in terms of where you guys are at in this rebuilding process, in this next phase. How fulfilling is it for you guys? You guys aren't done yet, but how fulfilling is it for you to start to see your vision of what you guys have worked so tirelessly to put together now start to come up to that big league level?
It's incredibly fulfilling. We had a scouting conference call this morning to walk through what we're seeing for this year's draft. We do it every other week, and I ended the call by thanking that group because it's a big day for those people too. They travel the country for 9 months a year, hoping that someday a Logan Gilbert or a Jared Kelnick becomes a byproduct of the work that they put in. So it's a huge day organizationally. I think the biggest part is that this is not where the pipeline ends. If you look at what is happening all over our system right now, the way that our pitchers are throwing the ball, some of what you're seeing from Noelvi Marte and Julio Rodriguez, among others in our system, like, there is a flow of talent that's coming. And obviously talent isn't a guarantee, but I'll take my chances with what we have coming in our system. And I think today is just the beginning of that. So that's the most exciting part to me. You don't get World Series trophies for prospect rankings, but ultimately prospect rankings and young talent will help drive us to where we want to be, which is getting back to the playoffs and giving the people here what they deserve, which is a winning product every year. So today is hopefully a beginning of people seeing that come to fruition.
He is Mariners assistant GM Justin Hollander. Justin, we're sure that anyone in the baseball operations side of things like you are, there's a lot of nerves with stuff like this, but we hope you can fit in some fun too and have fun watching the game tonight.
I slept great last night. No nerves for me.
That's good to hear. That's great to hear. Thanks, Justin.
Thanks for having me on. See you guys.
Thanks.
All right. We want to send you to next Wednesday's Mariners game. So right now, call 206-421-3776 or 866-979-3776. So in 1 minute, if you're listening on the radio, or 30 seconds if you're on the stream, 206-421-3776. Caller number 4 will receive a pair of tickets to see the Mariners host Detroit on May 19th. We're giving away a pair of tickets every hour all day, so stay tuned right here to 710 ESPN Seattle for your next chance to win. You've got questions, we've got answers. Get your questions in right now for What I Need to Know, Seahawks, Mariners, whatever it is, send them in now. 710-710, What I Need to Know, coming your way next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by Allred Heating, Cooling, Electric. Get your questions in to the Mac and Jack's text line, 710-710. We'll start with this one. What I Need to Know. I love that people are abbreviating it, WIN2K. What is your nerdiest obsession?
My nerdiest obsession?
I feel like nothing's nerdy anymore. Like, Marvel grosses billions of dollars. Harry Potter. You know what I mean? Things that people used to think are nerdy are just, like, the most popular things ever.
Right. Oh, you like comic books?
Yeah. Oh, you like Game of Thrones?
Weird.
Ooh, nerd. Get out of here.
Let's see. Nerdiest things. Okay, so maybe this isn't nerdy, but I got into Sudoku. Okay, so... My wife got me into Sudoku, and I like it, and I do it on the plane now. So wherever I go, I do a little bit of Sudoku, and sometimes I do it at night before I go to bed. So does that make me old, or does that make me nerdy?
Ooh, it's a combination of both. Now, do you have a little Sudoku book with you right now?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Like, about to bring on the plane, you have one.
Yeah, I can grab it for you.
Oh, he's getting it right now. There he goes.
Right,
710sports.com/video. There it is. Oh, you really have one.
Yeah, I'm not.
Good for you, Jake.
I'm not playing.
All right.
When I say things on this show, I mean it.
Yeah, my automatic reaction would be some kind of sci-fi or fantasy show, but all of them are good and all of them have a bajillion fans, so that doesn't really count. So, yeah, it more falls into what something you do. Like, do you knit? Do you whatever? Which I don't do that. I can't think of anything. I guess I'm just not nerdy. I'm just really cool, effortlessly.
That doesn't make you nerdy. That just makes you...
No, I don't knit.
The 206 says, that just makes you an old lady, Jake. How dare you?
Oh, no.
How dare
wow.
you? Okay. It is not, and it keeps my mind sharp, okay?
What I need to know, what is something daring you would like to do but are too chicken to do? Mine would be something like an activity of sorts, like bungee jumping, skydiving... Anything like that. I would never, ever, ever in a million years, you could not pay me to do it. It would be a really cool experience.
You know what one of those things were for me that I eventually overcame, Stacy? It was roller coasters. I would not ride roller coasters. I mean, I'm not talking teacups. I'm not talking about Space Mountain. I'm talking about big roller coasters, okay? And we were in Miami when I was playing at the University of Miami. We got a season's pass, the best thing we ever did at Miami. It wasn't my playing career at Miami. It was we got season passes and resident passes because we were residents of Florida to Universal Studios, and we went there about like 6 times, and it was awesome. And I overcame my fear of roller coasters. It was the greatest thing ever.
What I need to know, you can have lunch with any sports legend, dead or alive. Who's it going to be? Wow. Oh, my God.
Sports
There's like
legend?
A million and five that are going through my brain. I love of the alive variety. I love Serena Williams. I would love to have lunch with Serena Williams.
Serena Williams is a good one.
So let's talk alive variety. You've got Tiger Woods, Michael Phelps, Usain Bolt.
Yeah. I would probably go with Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan
Messi.
Would be the one that I would love to go.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And just, you know, and if they're open, like they're an open book, right? Like you're going to lunch, you're going to dinner with them, and
yes.
they're an open book.
That's
yes.
the rule that
Michael
I'm creating.
Jordan. Michael Jordan. I can only imagine the stories that that guy has.
253, what I need to know, where is Curtis? Curtis is with his family. He and Brenna just had their very, very first baby. Once again, happy birthday to Willa, who was born yesterday morning.
Woo!
Woo! Yes, we've already got
Congrats,
a bunch
Rogers
of fans.
Family.
Yes. Happy for the Rogers fam. He'll be back. He'll be
yes.
back. All right, that'll do it for us today. He is Jake Heaps. I'm
Baby
Stacey Willa. Ross. DJ Wilder on the board. And do not go anywhere. We are getting you guys ready as an entire station for this game because Wyman and Bob, coming your way in just minutes, are live at T-Mobile Park ahead of today's game against Cleveland. Wyman and Bob coming your way next.